Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-600-5471. That's 800-600-5471. 800-600-5471.
Inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. Today's rockstar, John Sebastiani, he's the CEO of Sonoma Brands, and really, entrepreneurship is in your blood. Tell me about the family you grew up in, a wine family.
Yes, I was born and raised in Sonoma Valley and a part of the Sebastiani Vineyards winemaking family, and what a great community to be an entrepreneur in wine and food. My great-grandfather, Samueli, learned to make wine in Tuscany for the monks and actually made his way to the U.S. through New York, eventually into San Francisco, and found Sonoma Valley because they had this amazing rock quarry. And this rock quarry had cobblestones that actually were used to make the first streets in San Francisco. And so as he was in Sonoma and inspired by the landscape and the terroir, which reminded him of Tuscany, he began to plant grapes, following his passion. And so in the early 1900s, Sebastiani Vineyards was founded. He was the first generation. I'm the fourth generation.
Wow.
And, you know, over the years and the generations, the family winery grew to, at one point, the second largest winery in the country.
Incredible.
I grew up in the vineyards, learning each trick of the trade.
You probably never had a different job other than working for wineries, right?
Well, as an Italian family, they put me to work at 9 years old, you know, and there was no...
You earn your keep.
There was no pool parties during the summer for me.
Wow.
But it was terrific.
And ended up becoming the president.
I did. I went to, when I finished school and sort of in between undergrad and graduate school, went and worked at the winery in the various sales and marketing functions, but eventually became the president.
So before you ever started your own business, you got to cut your teeth in the family business, learn all aspects. What were some of the main lessons you learned through your family business?
I think that the biggest factor of owning or starting your own business is really passion. And you have to have such a deep sense of passion for the product that you're making. And this is in the products business, right? Where there's a connection, an emotional connection to the item that you're making that I believe extends to the staff that you build, to your partners, whether they're capital partners or banking partners, and all the way through your retail community. But for me, this passion was handed down through the generations. This passion was demonstrated through Prohibition in the U.S. It's an amazing part of history where our family winery was one of two in the country that actually could legally continue to produce wine for the church. But all of these amazing parts of our heritage, which fall into this great product, which is wine. Mm-hmm. And we all love wine for the differences that each vintage brings and the flavor profiles and the way that we can pair food with it. So the passion there was amazing. And I think that it creates a culture of people that want to be around it.
Who is your number one mentor that you grew up with?
Great question. I grew up in a family business, obviously, but family business is dynamic, right? I mean, the lines between father and boss.
Yeah, I was going to get there in a second.
Are blurred. So on the one hand, I would have to say that he was probably in my early career my biggest mentor.
Your most and least favorite
my
mentor.
Most, yes. So there were tons of challenges, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But from an inspirational standpoint, that kind of taught me the charismatic skills to lead a company and to lead a brand. He was a great talent.
And that was his strength, was his charisma.
I think he had a tremendous ability to create a story. When you're in the consumer product space, branding becomes so important, and storytelling and delivering that passion to every partner that you have in the ecosystem becomes essential. And yes, that charisma was probably one of his best, along with a great sense of what the consumer wants. There's a magic there of predicting what consumers want and don't want and servicing that need before anybody else.
Mm-hmm. And let's go back to what you were saying, how the lines sometimes are blurred between dad and boss. What is it like working with family, and would you recommend it?
Well, I'll fast forward. We did sell our business in 2005, and that was a real mixed blessing. So as I sit here today, I'm so blessed that the sale did happen. I didn't know what I didn't know, let's put it that way, because I was born and raised in a family business where it was all about work. And so that work-life balance between just the basic needs of a father-son relationship, you know, fell into more of a boss-subordinate type relationship. So for a business, it's very effective. Family business has loyalty that runs deeper than water, as many in the wine business. And there was a television show, Falcon Crest, made out of it. But family dynamics are very powerful because of the commitment and the loyalty. At the same time, I think there's as the God in the movie Godfather by Coppola, you know, you don't really become a man until your father passes and you live in the shadow. And I think for iconic family businesses, fathers are very powerful and dynamic. And as sons, you know, we want our turn. And sometimes it takes time.
Oh, wow. Fascinating. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, joined by John Sebastiani. He's the CEO of Sonoma Brands. So you touched on work-life balance a little bit. Now you run your own business, no family involved. What is your lifestyle like? Give me some insight into a typical day.
I think my work ethic is even more demanding than it was then. But now I'm following my own passions and my own dreams. And I get to create what my day and my month and my year looks like. And I'm getting up between 5 and 6 every day. I'm probably returning home around 5:36, but just to have dinner with the family, back at work for, you know, several hours in the evening. Athleticism and fitness is very important to me. It was one of the founding principles of my company, Crave, when the winery was sold. And really, I view that as one of my most important meetings of the day is my run or my bike ride. I'm a marathoner and triathlon. I'm not a competitive person in that. I finish them and I love them, but
that's
I'm
huge.
Not like aggro about it. But I think that balance is there. But, you know, I'm in a part of my career now where it's extremely creative. I have the freedom to innovate in directions that I see without really the approval process of a family business.
What are some ways that you nurture that creativity?
Staying incredibly curious, staying incredibly humble, and the Crave business, leaving the wine business was a dramatic departure. I mean, we're talking about an industry that's as glamorous of a CPG business as you can get. Mm-hmm. I mean, wherever I went, people love to talk about wine and love to talk about my family's history and what happened here and all of the buildings that my grandfather built. There's something extremely exciting about it. Leaving that and going into consumer products outside of that was a risky move. And I think, you know, that sense of innovation and courage and staying curious and humble is important to paying attention to what customers want. Not taking things for granted, not, you know, assuming that, especially in the wine business, this sort of aura continued in. So,
And like you said, it's a new but related industry for you. Do you find yourself constantly being a student and learning new things?
Absolutely. I mean, questioning the status quo. Student always, you know, living beyond yourself and thinking outside of your own expectations. I mean, Frank, commonly phrases thinking outside the box, but really questioning the status quo is something that we try to practice every day.
Do you have any tips or tricks for staying organized or extra productive?
My practice is a just do it attitude. I'm not a big list maker. If something hits my desk, I deal with it immediately. I believe in really the 80-20 rule does exist with our time management and recognizing the 20% of the things on your list that are going to impact your day, your business the most, and letting the riffraff go or delegating that to people that are perfectly able to deal with it. So we are not a big meeting type. I believe in the Jeff Bezos approach where meetings are cancerous to an organization. I think we build a culture of instant communication. I mean, of course we need to assemble at times discussing strategy, but building a sense of accountability and autonomy where our partners are making decisions with no fear of failure builds a culture, I think, of innovation and acceleration.
So much more I want to ask you. We'll be right back with my guest, John Sebastiani, CEO of Sonoma Brands. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Is credit card debt ruining your life? Now you can have a large portion of your credit card debt forgiven. Get Relief Today wants to give you free information that shows you how. This program is proven to work for credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt. Thousands of people have used it to have a portion of their credit card debt forgiven. Call now for free information and a consultation. We'll give you the secret to this money-saving program absolutely free. Get eye-opening information that could save you thousands of dollars a year or a month, depending on how much you owe. In fact, the more you owe, the more you can save. All you need is to owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or department store debt to qualify. So call for free debt forgiveness information now at 800-207-8558. That's 800-207-8558. Discover the secret to having your credit card debt forgiven. Call 800-207-8558. 800-207-8558.
Here I have
you shouldn't have to choose a random
glass of Super Beats. Now, I've been turned on to Super Beats by my buddy Sully. You know Bob Sullivan from the Big Biz Show. He swears by this stuff because he's a bike rider. Super Beats or beets are loaded with dietary nitrates, which convert to nitric oxide in the body. Now, I'm no chemist, but I have heard from my wife, who likes to think she's a chemist when it comes to this stuff, that these nitrates are really, really good for you. Well, according to the Super Beats folks, they are, and it's the most convenient way to get them. So call this number, 800-201-7450. 800-201-7450, or just go to raybeats.com. You're going to get a free book. It's called Beats the Odds. And you get a 90-day supply for 60 days worth of money and a money-back guarantee. Here's to Super Beats. God bless. Wish me luck.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way. Which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to IdentifyEPI.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit IdentifyEPI.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-973-5533. That's 800-973-5533. Call 800-973-5533 today.
Inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars, joined by John Sebastiani. He's the CEO of Sonoma Brands. So if you could just right out the gate, let me know, what is Sonoma Brands?
Sonoma Brands is a one-of-a-kind, both investor in early-stage emerging food and beverage companies, as well as an internal incubator where we design, invent our own brands into categories that we feel provide future opportunity. So we're playing in two arenas, very exciting. We're built right out of the heartbeat of Sonoma, this wonderful community where wine meets food and we have tons of hospitality. So we started in January and we're about a year in now.
Wow, congratulations. Yeah. And that's what really makes you unique, is combining those two worlds, right?
Exactly. We feel that in food and beverage, which is changing from a seismic standpoint every year, bigger companies are losing share in virtually every category of food and beverage as the consumer is demanding more transparency on the ingredients. They're demanding more health and wellness options as they shop and mm-hmm. eat. And the way that we eat is changing. We're not sitting down and eating prepared meals for lunch as much as we did. We're snacking and mm-hmm. nibbling throughout the day. So as a result
of that,
we're all busy. It's on the go. We have to get our nutrition in us, but in a convenient manner. As a result of that, these larger companies simply can't react fast enough. So there's an eruption of entrepreneurs at virtually every area of the shopping store, from cottage cheese to all beverage to jerky, which I did, and cheese. And then there's a non-dairy movement. There's so much excitement in food and beverage right now. But what happens is when a founder starts a company and creates a product, and really the revenues are below $5 million, usually that founder is doing everything. Their chief marketing officer, their chief financial officer, their chief executive officer, and they're working 14 hours a day. They've built this unbelievable product that has unbelievable potential. They don't quite know what to do. So not only do they need capital, but they need mentorship.
They need help.
Yeah. They need help.
Mm-hmm.
How do we prepare to go to Target? When is the right time to go to Target? You get one shot
that.
At Target.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, you're out of Target.
Yeah.
And so our firm brings this tactical team, this toolbox to the table where we write them a check, invest into their company. We own a significant part of the company. And then our team will enter the equation and help them. Sometimes help is more in the form of sales. Sometimes it's more in the help of supply chain and thinking through, well, what happens if you get Costco distribution? What does that do to your supply curve? What does that do to your cost curve, and help advise them? So it's a tactical effort on top of our capital.
So you've worked with all of these brands. What is the common theme with the biggest obstacle that they face in those beginning years?
I think a common theme is the size of the opportunity. And when you think about the end game and founders, there's so much focus to bring a brand to life and bring a product to life that they'll lose really the forest through the trees. And what are they trying to build? I mean, we're getting 50 companies a week that reach out to us to invest in their companies. So we're getting product and PowerPoint decks and pitches and so forth. It's like a version of Shark Tank at our office. And a lot of times people have phenomenal branding and packaging and a product. The problem is, on a nationwide basis, they're playing in a $10 million category. And so sometimes as you think through the flow of starting a business, if you're not entering into a category that represents significant opportunity, it's sort of a dead on arrival concept. And I think that's probably one of the most common mistakes that early stage entrepreneurs make, is that they're entering a space that isn't big. So even if they're successful, it's still a boutique business.
Yeah. So obviously that's one of the things that you're looking for when they come to you and pitch. What are some other things that you're looking for that makes you go, I want to invest in your brand?
We talked about passion before.
Passion, for sure.
Entrepreneur has to have passion. Mm-hmm. They have to outperform any one of us when it comes time to selling their product. They have to have the charisma and the showmanship of representing that brand, because that's what makes a difference. Not only in the first sales call, but when you're pitching Target or Walmart or Wegmans or Whole Foods, whoever it is, they become the rock star that takes that brand. And the bigger the brand gets, the more important that becomes, whether it be speaking in certain public events or being on shows like this, having that personality and communicating the ethics and the DNA of that brand.
Because you're the face of the brand, ultimately.
Yeah, that's right.
This is Business Rockstars. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, joined by John Sebastiani. He's the CEO of Sonoma Brands. What would you say is the thing that makes a brand make it?
Curb appeal would be the first thing. The product has to jump off the shelf. And then, and a lot of that is the category. And it's, this is no, there's no algorithm that will help an entrepreneur solve for what's the next hot category. But there has to be a moment where you're connecting to the trend. You're connecting into something that's different. You can't be a shade of gray different than 10 other brands on the shelf. I've got more protein than that nut bar or protein bar. No, that's not enough. It has to be categorically different than what's available. And that will be required, by the way, just to even get on the shelf. Buyers won't even bring in a Me Too product generally. But then there has to be a wow factor. I mean,
how do you define wow factor?
I think you define, you know it when you know it. And again, there's not an equation that will deliver that. But I believe that through consumer profiling and through a lean launch pad start, I'm sure all the business folks watching this, lean launch pad is a very effective way of testing out a hypothesis where you believe that there is a connection to a consumer on a product, test it again and again to validate that. So the wow factor has to be whatever it is that your proposition. One of our new companies is a snackable marshmallow. We are trying to reposition the way that the marshmallow is viewed in a healthy, better for you way. We have confirmed that there is a wow factor. We have triggered a delightful, fun memory in consumers' mind about a marshmallow. It could take them back to roasting marshmallows in summer camp. It could be making Rice Krispie treats. Could be anything, but to now.
So it's almost like reinventing something we've commonly known.
That can be it. That can
be it. In this example, kind of. But yeah, it can be multiple different things.
But the packaging jumps off the shelf and then there's a wow moment. And that becomes, you know, from a business standpoint, a repeatable, scalable model.
So what is your biggest piece of advice for a new or aspiring entrepreneur?
I had a professor at Columbia that, was a mentor of mine, an investor in Crave with me, and an investor with me at Sonoma Brands, and I co-teach with him in the entrepreneurial class. And he has no shyness about saying, get your rear end out of here, out of the building, out of your office, and go talk to customers. And your customer may be you or me as a customer. Your customer may be Whole Foods, but get out of here. Test your hypothesis and see if people even care. Before you talk to me about your models and how big you think you're going to be, go show me
your
that
customer.
Page. Yes.
Moral of the story. Love it. Thank you so much to my guest, John Sebastiani. He is the CEO of Sonoma Brands, and we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
When it comes to food and agriculture, whose story are you going to believe? The Successful Farming Radio Magazine is brought to you by Kubota. Where passion meets performance, Kubota can help you achieve more. Kubota, for Earth, for life.
I'm the neighbor that drives a Kubota. I scout, venture off the beaten path, tow, haul, fuel my passion. To be part of a bigger picture. This is why I do it. Kubota. Right now, a Kubota RTV can be yours with zero down and 0% financing for up to 48 months. See your local Kubota dealer today.
Now through March 31st, 2017. Call toll-free 1-800-794-4992 for details about cost and terms.
Kevin Folta warns you not to be taken in by the outfits that make food safety claims based on their own agendas. Folta chairs the Horticulture Department at the University of Florida.
Scientists and farmers always rank among the most trusted
Napa know-how.
Spend $24 on anything at Napa this month, and you'll get a free Chase Elliott racing cap. You can spend it on oil. You can spend it on wiper blades. Heck, spend it on a year's supply of Pine Tree air fresheners. No matter what you spend $24 on, you'll walk away with a free Chase Elliott racing cap planted firmly on your noggin. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 3/31/17.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-373-0345. That's 800-373-0345. Again, 800-373-0345.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Jo Angelo is joining us. She's the CEO of Genev. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Tell us about your company.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Genev is a women's healthcare company focused on women's hormonal health, which is something that we don't typically talk about. Hormonal health is everything from menstruation to menopause, and every woman goes through it. And Genev focuses on bringing healthy products and content and digital community to women going through that transition in their life.
Nice. And you just got started in this space. So what has that been like for you? So, the whole startup experience?
Yeah. It's been amazing and exciting. I've always wanted high highs and low lows, and I'm getting them. I'm 1 year into the business, and it's been an incredible adventure just figuring out what does a business take, what kinds of decisions need to happen before others, how do you motivate and find customers, how do you find the right team members. I'd say the greatest challenge I've experienced is finding the right people. And when you do, it's magic.
Yeah. What was the hardest part about just getting out into the space, putting your message out there, putting content out there, especially in this space? I mean, I feel like it's either going to be very well received, or you have to, as we all probably have to do at some point, is kind of just keep refining and crafting our message. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you to put yourself out there in the spotlight and talk about something like this?
Well, you nailed it when you said in this space, especially. Mm-hmm. Women's hormonal health is kind of a taboo topic. And when we talk about Genev, we say we're taking on the taboos of women's hormonal health. Mm-hmm. Women don't talk about it. And so when something's not talked about, it's not addressed. Yeah. And so the hardest part is getting it out there in terms of making people feel comfortable to talk about it, whether that goes even into our digital marketing. The words we use about a woman's body are sometimes censored, and so we can't post out ads and things. So just kind of fighting through the norms around our topic area is one challenge. I'd say the other is myself. I've had to really put myself out there to talk about even my own health, because people connect with you when you have a story that they can relate to. And so it's been a big change in putting my story out there and just being a lot more vulnerable to my customers and to my audience.
That's why I ask, because I'm in the content space, speaking space, book, just all of that. And so I know, I mean, you have to be vulnerable. You have to break through the uncomfortable feelings of being on camera, being on stage, sharing this on all different platforms online, social media. I mean, I know that a lot of people struggle with that. So if you had to give some advice for the people out there who are wanting to follow their passions, they're wanting to start their business, maybe it's content, maybe it's sharing their message with the world. I mean, after all, the fastest growing industry in the world is the coaching space. People who want to provide their content and their story to have it move people. So I know there's a lot of people that aren't doing that. Self-doubts, limiting beliefs, feelings of unworthiness. What's your advice, though? Because you're doing it. You're in your first year. You're going through it right now. So what's your advice for those people that are sitting on the fence?
You know, I think that my advice is, when you're in that moment of should I share it or should I not about a certain point or a story that's going to make your story better, just do it. Don't ask for permission. Ask for forgiveness, after the fact. And I think that in order to be successful, especially in the content space, or to be a leader, you're going to have to put yourself out there. And I think that it's the fears oftentimes that hold us back. But inherently, if you're thinking about it, then you'll want to do it. And it's kind of a relief the moment that you put it out there the first time, because now you've done it and the next time becomes a lot easier. So just go for it, I guess, is my greatest advice, versus holding back because you'll have regrets if you don't do it.
And that's, I love the fact that she brought up, it's so perfect. You know, it's better to ask for forgiveness. Or it's better to ask for, what is it?
Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Permission. Yeah. And the whole fear thing is so great, because I feel like when you're getting started, you have to push through the feeling of being uncomfortable enough times to then make it feel normal. Mm-hmm. And you have to, it's, you know, the acronym of fear is false evidence appearing real. You have to do it enough times to realize that the fear was false evidence appearing real. And you just have to keep doing it. You just keep doing it, keep doing it. And your first 50 or 100 or 200 may suck. I know my first 100, 200 speaking opportunities and interviews and things like that, they weren't as good as they are after my 1,000th. And so you just got to get out there. You got to do it enough times. Let's shift gears and talk about what you did before this, because I want people to have some context of like your background. What were you doing for 20 years before you started Genev?
So for the past 20 years, my career has been in tech. I've been in marketing, in technology companies. Yeah. The last 15 years have been at Microsoft. And specifically there, Microsoft's a big company, so you get to reinvent yourself many times. I was in product marketing around the world. I was in kind of an executive chief of staff position for a while. But I was also in media. And my last role, I was focused on our consumer brands, specifically Xbox. And so I came from like the gaming industry and worked on building consumer brands for gamers or office for productivity users. And so I know how to build consumer brands and consumer loyalty. Translating that to women's healthcare products has been an interesting transition, but there's so many things that I can apply between the two. And the intensity, I think, of the tech space and the fast-paced nature and the digital marketing are probably, and the leadership lessons are the greatest aspects of that that I've applied to this.
Did you always know? I mean, for 20 years, you've been doing that. So I'm like very curious to know, was entrepreneurship something that you stumbled into? You got sick and tired of the tech space and you want to start your own business. Was it something you always wanted to do or no? Tell me.
In fact, I always thought, gosh, I can't imagine being responsible for people's salaries. You know, in terms of like needing to bring in enough income to pay people to work with you. So that always scared me. But I always had this like needling inside me that said, you're meant to do something else. Mm. And I kind of always just wanted to burst out of what I was doing. So it was more of a feeling that I kind of almost couldn't explain. It's like little whispers. And I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs kind of experience. Like, I'm meant to be doing something different, but I don't know what it is. And the right thing has to kind of expose itself or come along. And in my case, it did.
That's fantastic. But when did you finally accept the little voice saying it's time, you got to start? Because I feel like so many people have been hearing that for years, for decades, and I feel like most people don't go after their dreams because they can't make that voice go away and make their other voice louder that's saying it's time to get started versus the little voice that goes, what if you fail?
Yeah,
you know, you're not going to make the money, you're going to lose your paycheck.
Well, I would say in my tech career, I didn't go out on a high. And, you know, I think it's really hard to admit that, but the voice had gotten louder during that period to say, you know what? I think there's something better I should be doing that's better for me, better for everyone around me. And so it almost took me in getting to a place of struggle to now begin to listen to it in a relevant way. Otherwise, I'm a super optimistic person. I'm a fighter. And through every challenge the tech world threw at me, I stood up and I took it on, and it required me getting to a point where it was like, you know what, maybe it's time to make a change. And so don't try and fight so hard sometimes when you're just not happy, you know, is kind of my point there.
And that's fantastic because so many people have their roots dug in. 20 years I've been in this space. Mm-hmm. I can't dig up my roots and go do something new and start all over. But if you're not happy, if you're not in alignment with your purpose and your passion, or if you don't even know what your purpose and your passion is, you need to figure that out first, but then you just have to make the shift. It's like, I forgot the exact saying, but it's like, you're going to spend your whole life working. Mm-hmm. You can either do it for somebody else and build their asset and be left with, in most cases, nothing at the end of the day besides just paychecks. No equity, nothing that you can really retire with. Or you can spend your whole life fighting for something that you love and compound 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. You're going to be working anyways and build something like an empire, build something that's meaningful, build an asset, or at the very least, maybe don't build any of that. You just do what you love. You can make less money and it's okay. Now I want advice on the person who has a 9-to-5 job. There's a lot of them out there. You made the jump, but I think there's so many people that are crippled in fear, crippled in uncertainty about, is it the right time? How am I going to pay my bills? We get all different types of answers. That's why I'm excited to get yours. Somebody has a 9-to-5 job. They want to, desperately want to cut the cord and go after their passions and their business. But for fear, uncertainty, and other variables, they're not going yet. What's your advice?
I think it's really hard to dip your toe and try and do it after hours. I know seems like the logical way to do it, but you're never going to put yourself out there and truly be successful in a way that it requires. Like, this is a put your whole self into it kind of
you're
mode.
All in or you're not.
All in. Hmm. And honestly, you could always go back. You can always go back to the 9-to-5.
But most people are terrified of going back because if their friends and their family are like, well, you quit your job, which we already said not to do. You went out and your business failed. We were rooting for you, but we kind of knew it was going to fail, which is like, great. What a great friend or family member. And now you got to go back to the 9-to-5 job. That's like the nightmare. I think most people, employees are terrified of losing their job. Entrepreneurs are terrified of having a job. So to quit your job, go get be an entrepreneur and then have it fail and come back. It's like the nightmare of nightmares.
Yeah, it's not fun, you know, but you're going to have to make tougher decisions in the business than deciding to quit and go back. And hey, you know what? You maybe don't need to go back. You could do other freelance or whatever to sustain some income until you figure out the next step. But I think it's harder being an entrepreneur and the decisions you have to make versus going back.
I 100% agree. But again, to the point, a lot of people are going through that struggle in their mind, right? Oh no, what am I going to do?
Yeah. And I don't want to, I have the same struggle. You know, I'm not,
I remember thinking that before my business took off. I remember my first year and even at some points in my second year being like, oh my goodness, it'd be so much easier to just shut everything down. Mm-hmm. I'm only paying other people first. Like, I'm working to make money to pay other people first. and pay myself last. And if there's not enough to go around, I don't get anything or I get very little. But I'm the one doing most of the work that ends up paying all these people. And it's just like, it'd be so much easier to go get a job and keep all my own money. And being in that place is such a terrible feeling. But I think having gone through that, pushing through it and getting to a place where you're like, now I'm at a place in my life where I don't ever have to worry about money. It's just like to look back and be like, you got through it. That's the goal, I think, of an entrepreneur, is to get to that place. But you got to get through the hustle and you got to get through the adversity. Taking back to a season in your life where you had adversity, could be maybe in this first year of your business.
It's right now. It's right now. Mm. You know, I'm 1 year into this business, so I'm in that place right now where you're worrying about money and you're paying everybody else before you're paying yourself, and you're working like you've never worked.
Yeah.
You know, I've had 20 years in tech, and I'm working harder than I've ever worked. There are super low days, but the highs are really great, and you just have to kind of say, okay. I have another woman that works with me, and we're always like, okay, what are we celebrating today? And I know it sounds kind of hokey, but we're like, hey, let's celebrate the person who commented on that blog post because it was one person that we reached. And so we make it a point to have a little bit of quirky humor to keep our spirits up, to keep us going. But it's not, I'm in it right now. And every day is a self-talk to myself around staying positive and just fighting through it.
And that's huge. It's the self-talk going on in your head that's either going to crush you and make you quit, or it's going to get you back up and keep going. I love that you just said, you know, you celebrate the small wins. Reminds me of a quote from my friend John Assaroff. He says, celebrate the small wins as if they're big and the big wins as if they're normal. Jill, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you
so much. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Not available in all states.
Hey, you two, what brings you to the mall?
We're just here checking on our robot.
Your robot?
Yeah, our recent Irby's Froyo robot. Diane and I became franchisees last month.
And couldn't be happier. It serves premier frozen yogurt creations to customers in 60 seconds, and the yogurt is delicious.
Yep, our customers absolutely love it. That's it over there.
Whoa, that's incredible. People really do love your Froyo robot. So, you own this?
Sure do. Recent Irby's Froyo robots are available across the country, and it's super easy. Recent Irby's provided us with everything we needed. They even help you secure amazing locations. Movie theaters, grocery stores, college campuses, theme parks. They make any location a sensation.
And everyone loves frozen yogurt. That's incredible. How do I get a Froyo robot of my own?
You just go to froyofranchising.com and enter promo code 9595. But hurry, because locations and robots are going fast.
Froyo.
Yeah, froyofranchising.com. Promo code 9595.
Here is your healthcare update with America's healthcare advocate, Carrie Hall. Does exercise really help keep you young as you get older? I'll be back to tell you more. A sedentary lifestyle isn't good for anyone, but particularly should be avoided as we age. Although some age-related muscle loss may be inevitable, much of the decline in muscle tissue is blamed on aging that is really due to inactivity. So if you're a couch potato, here's what happens. Muscle mass diminishes, the metabolism can change drastically, causing obesity, impaired glucose tolerance, changes in the body's ability to regulate temperature, and weakened bones, thereby increasing risk from falls and injury. How many older folks do you know that have fallen and injured themselves? Well, all that can be avoided if you simply exercise. Exercise can make a huge difference. The person who stays physically fit will not only look good and feel good, their skin, tissue, organs, and bones will all have the components of youth. So yes, you can reverse the aging process, or at least slow it down, through exercise.
You shouldn't have...
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now.
800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
Exceptional CEOs do more in less time. Joining us is Jim Schlexer. He's the CEO of the Inc. CEO Project, and he's the author of Great CEOs Are Lazy, How Exceptional CEOs Do More in Less Time. Jim, break it down for us. You're an expert on the subject.
So what great CEOs do differently, and you can tell the minute you start talking to a CEO that they're great by one question: how many hours do you work a week? And if that number's 70, 80 hours a week, unless there's a crisis going on, they're probably not a great CEO. Yeah. Some of the best CEOs I've talked to, 20, 30, you know, depends on what's going on, maybe 40 on a top week. How do they do it differently? And the answer is they focus on the most critical things in their business, and they get rid of everything else on their desk. And so almost 100% of their time is on highly value-added effort.
I call those the highest income and impact activities. How does somebody know what those critical activities are? Earlier you mentioned, you know, the fire hose analogy, where the kink is, that's the highest critical activity. But break it down for us. How does somebody identify that? Because clearly businesses aren't growing because either the person has identified it and doesn't know how to do it, or they have no clue where the kink in the hose is.
Right. And so my experience, and I've talked to thousands of CEOs, as I mentioned, about half have no idea where the point of constraint is. And then about of the half that do, less than 50% spend a significant amount of time on it. So if you can find the point of constraint, the kink in the hose, and spend a lot of time on it, you're in the top quarter of all CEOs right out of the box. So the kink can lie in a couple of four different areas that we talk about. Either you got the wrong business model or the right business model. You've got the right talent or the wrong talent. Your processes and systems are correct. Or how you engage in the business as a CEO is limiting the business. I'll give you an example on that last one, and we can go back to the others. A CEO that's limiting the business is, for example, we call them infomaniacs. A CEO that has to have all the information, everything flows through their office. They end up looking like a switchboard operator. Let me connect Mark to Joe. Let me connect Bob to, you know, and they're just constantly doing this. Well, you can imagine.
They actually aren't doing anything but vetting all the stuff.
And connecting, which means they become the everything the has to be, they become the bottleneck of the whole organization. Yeah. So if you're like super intelligent, maybe I can get up to 10 or 15 million by doing that. You're sure not getting to 50, and there's no way you're going to 100.
Because there's just that many more touch points in the business, you can't possibly filter multiple.
It's geometric. Yeah. It's geometric how many connections I got to make, so I can't keep up with it. So that'd be an example of how you engage in the business isn't working.
I think some people right now just gulped, and they're like, uh-oh.
That looks like somebody I know. Right. You know, on business model, the thing we talk about there is a mafia offer. So a mafia offer is an offer that is so good, your clients would be crazy to say no to you. Mm. And that means it probably has to be twice as good or half the price. I'll use a little bit of a dated example, but for those that remember Blockbuster, used to go to the store, didn't have what we wanted. I wouldn't see the movie. 2 weeks later, I return it. They charge me $37 of late fees. Netflix comes in, $10 a month. Send it back when you want to. See as many as you want. You got a queue. We always have what you need. And then went to on demand. Better business model by at least double, probably, right? Mm-hmm. 3 years later, Blockbuster.
They became a $500 million a month business that provides essentially a software platform, so their costs are extremely small. They don't have the brick and mortar.
Nope.
So, yeah, I mean, that's just a perfect
example. Blockbuster was gone in 3 years.
Boom.
That's what I mean by it. It was a mafia offer. And when you see that, you go, well, I'd be crazy not to say yes to it. If your offer isn't that good where your customers go, I'd be crazy not to say yes to your offer, you need to spend more time on it.
The other thing about that, too, is it's exactly what's happening in the marketplace with other businesses like that, like an Amazon or a Zappos. Yep. It's disruptive.
Yep.
And it has exponential growth because of the technology factor in it, like an Uber. Once they proved it in LA and a couple other cities, snap the fingers.
Boom.
Boom. Exponential growth. Right. Netflix, it's just a matter of how many people are going to pay us a monthly.
Right.
And so the exponential growth factor with the disruptive factor. Boom.
Big time. I think the other thing about Netflix is it's recurring revenue. It's an option.
Which is great. Yeah.
We love recurring revenue. I got a bumper sticker. I love recurring revenue.
Yeah.
Because once I get you on, it's an opt-out model and nobody opts out or they rarely opt out.
Yeah, so the value prop is so big that the price point is so small.
It's like 10 or 15 bucks a month. Yeah. Who's going to turn that off their credit card? So they can spend a lot of money to acquire a client because I'm going to keep them for three,
the
four, five, 7 years.
The lifetime value is much bigger.
Exactly right. So recurring revenue would be the other thing in your business model. You know, on talent, I think the big thing is A's, B's, and C's. And, you know, an A is somebody I would move heaven and earth not to have them leave my company. A C, I go, yeah, Mark, hey, thanks for stopping by. We'll see you later because I could replace you for the same money in the job. Hmm. So CEO has to constantly be looking at the caliber of people they have in their organization. And great CEOs do this all the time. If they find themselves having to drive into an area all the time, they probably have the wrong person. If I'm constantly involved, we had one CEO we worked with. He was helping close the books. I go, you know, why are you doing that? Closing the books. Don't you have a CFO? Yeah, I like to do it and it's okay. And go, the guy's not an A player. You need to get rid of him.
Yeah.
We took a few months. He finally got rid of him, put in an A player. Goes, wow, I don't have to close the books anymore. Isn't this amazing? So talent is the other big area that they have to spend a lot of time.
Talent's a big one too. And another differentiating factor is, you know, some as the company grows, when you're small, you should have all A talent if possible.
Hopefully, yeah.
But as the company grows, you actually, weirdly enough, you do need the C's and the B's and the A's because
I'm not going to sign up for C's.
Well, okay,
I'll sign up for B's.
And A's.
Lots of B's.
All right, we can agree on that.
B's show B's up on time and do their job. They're awesome.
B's and A's. CEO of the Inc. CEO Project, Jim Schlexer, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. And we're talking about the subtitle of your book here, How Exceptional CEOs Do More in Less Time.
Right.
What are some of the things we left out that you have written in the book?
Yeah. A lot of people say, well, how would I get rid of all these things that I do? I'm involved in so many things.
How do I cut down from 80 hours to 50?
You got it. And there's a simple exercise that we advise CEOs to do. We talk about it in the book. And you take all the things you do and you stack rank them on value impact to your business. You talk about highest value activities.
Yeah.
Highest value at the top, lowest value at the bottom in terms of changing the profit of your business. About halfway up the list, you make a line. Everything below the line, I'm going to either 3Ds. I'm going to delegate it to somebody else. I'm going to defer it into the future and hope it solves itself, or I'm going to don't do. I'm never going to do that ever again. You do that maybe two times where I go half and then half again. Bingo. You're down to 40 or 50 hours a week. So it sounds simple. It's very hard to do. But
some people are like, well, it's easy to say it like
I know
that.
It is. And you know, what if I got three people, who am I going to delegate it to, but then go to defer or don't do. Cause if that isn't the most important thing for you to be spending your time on, get rid of it, spend more time at the top of the list.
Fantastic. I know people out there just said, wow,
that's me.
I need to be doing that as well. And maybe they even want to grab a copy of your book. So where do you do that?
Amazon.com. You can grab a copy of Great CEOs Are Lazy.
There you go. And this is my copy, Jim.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Jim.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.
Attention, Xarelto and Pradaxa users. If you or a loved one has taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and suffered an injury or even died, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Xarelto and Pradaxa are prescribed blood thinners used to prevent blood clots and protect people from strokes. If you have taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and been hospitalized for internal bleeding, call now. 800-305-2036. Serious bleeding has led to numerous cases of hospitalization and death. If you or a loved one was hospitalized for serious internal bleeding or a stroke after taking Xarelto or Pradaxa, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. Time is limited to file your claim. Call now for free information and a free consultation. Call 800-305-2036. That's 800-305-2036. Again, 800-305-2036.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada. Biz Talk Radio,